Okay, thank you so much for coming out tonight. Just a note, next week we're not going to meet. We'll pick up the week after. I have a conflicting dinner next week. So last week, tonight's our second night. Last week we opened up the Chazon Ish is the fourth parak of Emunah B'Tachon. The focus in the fourth parak is on the relationship and a study of midos. Different perspectives on midos. Last week we focused on the opening paragraphs in which he, Kedarko Bakodesh, the Chazon Ish begins with what he sees as urban legends and sought to show here's the real way to look at it. We saw that in B'Tachon, now we see it with midos. And the first movement, which was our focus last week, was to see midos as a one unified concept, rather than saying, you know, there are so many different aspects and so many different independent, disconnected midos. Am I humble or not? Am I patient or not? Am I generous or not? Am I thoughtful or not? It's really one midah. It's a lot of different facets of the same jewel, a lot of different aspects of the same core midah. And what he had said last time, really the core midah is as he understood the Mishnah in the second parak of Avos, it's about Lev Tov. But what's going on inside? And Lev Tov, he understood, mentioned last time, perhaps it's in line with Yaakov Kamenetsky's perspective on Lev as meaning not only the heart, but the brain, the mind. That it's really about, am I just going with the flow? Am I just being as I am? Am I just being natural? Or do I seek to rise above that? Do I seek to put the ethical gesture, the moral gesture, over just sort of the natural, unfettered, undisciplined flow? Am I seeking to discipline myself? Am I seeking to be more than just inertia? Or am I just inertially going with the flow? I said everything, when we talk about lots of different midos, those are lots of different expressions of the same basic mido. So that was a focus last time. And now we're going to sort of take this to the next step. We're going to pick up with paragraph Hey and beyond, sort of take it to the next step, broaden the field, not only looking at midos and different midos and see them as he put it, a single midah tova and a single midah ra, but now let's take a look at the relationship between midos and mitzvos, between midos and halacha. And Chazon Ish, once again, will find a surprising degree of unity, more than one way of looking at it. Take a look. A paragraph A, the bottom of the first page. Min ha-munachim ha-kayamim, one of our set ideas, ki tikkun, it's an expression almost. Tikkun ha-midos, misyacheis le'el ha-mitzvah she'en b'nam l'chaver. We often assume that, you know, character development and developing better midos, that plays out in the world of b'nam l'chaver. Having good midos or bad midos will affect. Do I take revenge? Do I speak Lashon Hara? Am I kind? Am I compassion? Am I fulfilling the mitzvahs haseh and the mitzvahs los haseh b'nam l'chaver or not? And while chovas hayira, a requirement of yira shamayim, to be from, quote unquote, that's mitzvahs b'nam l'makom. That's the question of tzitzis and tefillin and davening and learning and birkas hamazon and so forth. And then once you think about midos, the mitzvah b'nam l'chaver being driven by our midos, the mitzvah b'nam l'makom being driven by our frumkeit, by our yira, and I use that term frumkeit gingerly, once you take that approach, there's a separate ideology, there's a separate basis for what drives my mitzvah between me and other people, what drives my mitzvah between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then that relates to another idea. That relates to the opinion. There are people who are in great shape, perfected as far as ritual mitzvahs, as far as mitzvahs b'nam l'makom, but they're imperfect when it comes to midos. They ain't ruin b'nam l'chaver. So we have this dichotomy in our mind, that they're b'nam l'chaver, b'nam l'makom, they really come from very different places, and I could be very firm in this area without being firm in that area. I could be firm but not nice, I could be nice but not firm. Amnam ein deya zu kayemas be'emas. This isn't really true. L'choder el pinimis chizayon hazeh. If we dig deeper, if we dig beyond the surface, if we're not going to be superficial, this isn't really true. It's not kayemas be'emas. Not kayemas be'emas means there is such a phenomenon that we see people whose halachic observance is not uniform, who may be stronger male lachaver or weaker male lachaver, vice versa. But that's the surface look. What's really going on? The truth is, a person whose midos are kibriyasan, as they are in nature. That's again going back to his idea from last week that the bad midah is just to be as you are in nature, to use the Lockean term, as opposed to seeking to grow and develop beyond. If you're just going with midos as you were born. Lo huskenu al pi'an musar v'hadeya. I haven't developed myself using musar. I haven't thought things through. I haven't become a deeper, more thoughtful person. And therefore, if I'm just midos as in nature, hu masur b'yad yitzro, then yitzro masur b'yado, I'm controlled by my yitzer rather than my yitzer controlling me. As instead of my, I'm the sort of person who instead of being able to decide deliberately whether to engage physicality or not, my physical drives, instead of working for me, they're in charge of me. I work for them. So if my yetzer runs my life, then lo yitachin shehei shalom b'mitzvos b'ayam l'makom. If my midos aren't developed, then I'm not going to be deeply from in terms of b'ayam l'makom mitzvos either. But we know plenty of people who are like that. We know plenty of people who Shabbos kashrus the highest standards, but the way they treat other midos are not in place. So, empirical evidence, he says, no. In Mekayimon B'mida Yedua, if you see people who are, to a certain extent, careful about B'nal Makams, even though their midos are not in place, Urak B'mtesha Eno Pogesh B'hen Hisnagdos Mitam Achas Amitam Ugros. You know what it really is? He says, midos really drive everything. Midos drive B'nal Makam also. Here's a guy who seems to be charitable, underdeveloped in his midos tovos, and yet looks like he's very firm. Yeah, that's just because the requirements of the B'nai L'makoms haven't yet bumped up against one of his poor midos. Let's see what we mean. He said, "Bipagsho b'hisnagdoshan." Once the drive to keep mitzvahs bumps up against a poor midah, lo tamod yiraso b'fam. That sort of shallow yirashamayim will not be able to survive a showdown with a bad midah, and it says, Maisim b'chal yom. It happens all the time. Let me give you, once again, like we had in the entire Beza story of Reuven, it says, consider the following vignette. To use the Beth Abrahamian term. Consider the following vignette, the following sketch. Right? It's Chared, someone who's a Chared, very religious. You know, Malcolm. Chared hazel lo'ol at the top of page 612. Lo'ol lo Torah. Kasher kro'uhu la'alos. They gave him the gabbai, called him for aliyah, and he doesn't, he refuses to take the aliyah. Why? Kasher chashav ki lo'o fi kvodo'u hizu hamana shechalako ha'gabbai.
It wasn't shishi?
Exactly. It wasn't b'kavod. You give me that type of aliyah? What do you think I am? I'm not going to... That's not kefi kvodi. Kefi simanei ha'kavod ha'muchzakim ba'sirahu. That sibra holds that shlishi is the finest aliyah. Or that sibra holds that shishi, whichever it is. Litvish Chassidish, take your pick, it doesn't really matter. Which is by Litvak, Shlishi is most chashiv, and by many Chassidim, Shishi is most chashiv. So whatever it is, that's all. Regardless, mutatis mutandi, whatever this fellow thinks is Bakavadik, the Gabbai gave him something that to his mind, that's beneath me. Goodbye, I'm not taking that Leah. Now, So what do you say about that? He says, well, that's against Shulchan Aruch. That's a Shubhan Makam. You don't take an aliyah. Maybe we can imagine the situation. Baruch Hashem, it's not one that we see here. But one can imagine the situation. Even though that's not just a question of nastiness. Karega lochas, in that moment, he apparently is not frightened. Masha Amru, Va'oz Ve'Hashem, Zeh Shekarn Lo La'os La'Torah Ve'in Ho'ola. Gemara says that a Jew is called upon to take an aliyah and doesn't take it. That's considered to be a transchil Hashem. It's Ozvei Hashem. Ozvei Torah Hashem. Zoso Meres. Sha'adam zeh mekulkol b'shara sha'ud. What does this mean? He's violating mitzvahs halachas shebein Adam lamakam. So what does it tell you? Adam zeh mekulkol b'shara sha'ud. In his root, there's something in the core of the person that's not right, it's skewed. Sheyetzer hara shofto. Here it is. Here's that line from the, I believe, Maseches Brachos. The Yetzer hara is judging him. Yetzer hara is judging him. The Chazanish appears to be, we talked about this last week also, Chazanish seems to be adopting this same approach to that Gemara as a Sefer HaTanya. When the Gemara says that tzaddik is one whose Yetzer Tov is shofet him, and Rasha is one whose Yetzer hara is shofet him. It doesn't mean, does my Yetzer Tov judge me? Does my Yetzer hara judge me? It's not a question of who's adjudicating me. It's la'achar ha'maisa. It's not a question of how are we going to look at what he did. It's a question of who's helping me make my judgments. In the modern colloquial sense of good judgment versus bad judgment, not a court's judgment, my own sense of judgment. How am I making calls? How am I making decisions? Are decisions being driven, my decision-making process driven by my better side, by my Yetzer Tov, by my sense of what's right? Or is my decision-making process driven by what's expedient or what's in the moment more appealing? Yetzer hara shofto. So here you have a fellow, and that for the Chazanish's mind, is really what is the Mida Tova versus the Mida Ra. And what's driving my decision-making? So if at my core, Yetzer hara shofti, if at my core it's about the here and now, so then here you have it. When push came to shove, when the rubber hit the road, all of a sudden his gaiva and his sense of arrogance trumped the mitzvah shebaram lamakom that he supposedly holds so dear. Up until now it seems like he was so firm. B'cholatzias mitzvah, so, well, you know what that tells me? That to a large extent, when he was keeping mitzvahs, it's pri hahergo, hamatimos l'chvodo. It was a matter of habit, and habit that fits well with his desire for comfort. Ulo tavoso. It fit my desires. Ulo mahalach chayev b'shitfo hativi. I was in a groove. I was in a groove. I was in a flow. This is where I'm raised. This is you know, my ego is fed by doing the things that are socially accepted and socially looked up to. And I'm in a society where halacha is the way it's supposed to be. But it's a social Judaism. It's not about doing the right things because they're right. It's do the right things because that's what's feeding my ego. But if someone crosses him, everything's going to be upside down. He says, here's the thing. You know why there's this illusion that I can have bad midos, but be very quote-unquote from in the world of B'nai L'makom? Liyosi, the last paragraph of section A. Liyosi pug shobim l'chemez ha-midos b'dvarm sh'benal l'chavir ha-mitsuya. Here's what it is. The reason why there appears to be such a correlation is because bad midos tend to challenge us more in the area of B'nai L'chavirs. That comes up all the time. To maintain standards of not taking revenge, to maintain standards of not bearing a grudge, to maintain standards of honesty and integrity in business, to maintain standards of being compassionate to people who annoy us, to maintain the standards of Dvarim L'Chaveiro, it's bumping up against Midas Ra'os all the time. Now, Pegishim is not Gusam, the Tefillah, the Kriyashma, and the Mitzvah. Midas Ra'os don't make Kriyashma difficult as often. Midas Ra'os don't make Tefillah difficult as often. So that's why Nidmet L'Bnei Adam Ki Hu Chared L'Chatzad. That's why people think, oh, this guy is half religious. He keeps the B'nai L'Makom, he doesn't keep the B'nai L'Chaveiros. But it's practically true. Practically, that's what's typically happening. That's the behavior pattern. But in terms of that behavior pattern, you're just looking at the outside. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants far more of us than merely Chavos Haivarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants far more of us than merely a pattern of certain behaviors. That's the external expression of the Chavos Haivarim. That's the external expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dreams and expectations of what's the inner landscape of the Jew. And Hamish or Zev Zayn, when a person is sort of selectively observant, he keeps his firm in the B'nai L'Makoms, but B'nai L'Chaveiros have fallen by the wayside. That means the B'nai L'Makoms are probably largely a shell. And then he tells another vignette, another sketch. This one's pretty frightening, but certainly more mild versions of the following come up all the time. Maaseh here in section Vav. Maaseh b'chared echad misugza. A charedi of this sort. A religious Jew, he doesn't mean it as a political statement. He means a religious Jew strictly observant, at least in the world of Ben Adam Balmako, but of this sort, a very a great adherent of the halachas of Shabbos and Kashrus, but not coming from a place of depth, not coming from a place of moral, ethical midos depth. Ba'orech nechabad li'iro. Prestigious guest comes to town. So this religious Jew asks the guest, will you please come visit me? He invites him to home. If Tichol Levakra B'Lil Shabbos Kodesh. And the guest says, I'll be over Friday night. I'll come for dessert. He was so excited that his invitation was accepted. Why? Once again, Kazanish's realistic view of human nature. He's excited. It's not because he's excited because the opportunity to host a Talmud Chacham will raise the spiritual quality of the household. Not because he's so excited about the mission in Pirkei Avos to be Misabek Barfar Tamil to Chacham. It's because, you know, if he's, yeah, I'm the one, the Rav is coming to me. Phew. So what, how's the Yitzhar play out? Hishkicho lahosef neft b'nero. This is a dated sketch. Again, the essence is very relevant, but the details are from yesteryear. He forgot to add enough kerosene to the lamp. Every Erev Shabbos, back in the day, you make sure to top off the kerosene so that the lamp will go until you're ready to go to sleep. Punkt that Erev Shabbos, the Satan sees it, Yitzhar sees it, and that Erev Shabbos, he forgot to refill the kerosene. Hidlik is haner b'ma'at hanef shenishim l'lehei. So Friday afternoon, he lit it, forgot to put in more fuel, so he lit it. It lit initially because there was some leftover fuel from Thursday night. But l'el Shabbos kodesh b'mos ha'choref. It's of course a winter Friday night. Couldn't be happening in June. It's January. It's February. V'ha'orech adon lo ba, and it's 7 o'clock, and it's 8 o'clock, and it's 9 o'clock, it's 9:30, and the visiting Rav hasn't shown up yet. But by 9 o'clock, 9:30, the light's starting to flicker. And he realizes, didn't fill it this afternoon. V'haner chashav lehi kavos. Chaznish here is borrowing the terminology of the first parak of Yonah. V'haner chashav lehi kavos. And the lamp is thinking of going out. Right? Or the lamp is headed, it's starting to sputter. Watch. And 5 minutes later, the guest is going to show up, and we're going to sit in the dark. The charizel l'shal b'nafshal. He couldn't control himself. He didn't have the self-discipline. L'nchol hakalon hazeh. To absorb this sort of embarrassment. Sh'yavah ho'areach. Even to Ed B'choshech, the guest is going to come, and the dining room is dark. By Yosef Neft Ben Erev Shabbos, and he had a fuel. No one is watching, no one is looking, and in the moment he grabs the can and fills up that. Chol Shabbos Aris. Masa Zeh Enenu Min HaMikra Bodedim Shah Adar Michel. And this isn't a rare anomalous occurrence. So this is going to happen on a regular basis. A person who is observant, but it's not coming from a place of depth. A person, and specifically, it's not coming from a place of depth of midos. It's all habits, all roads, just like doing what everyone does and doing what I've done without, if it's a mile wide but an inch deep, so when push comes to shove, there isn't the depth to support maintaining this even in the face of difficulty. This is what I do, you know, sort of go with the flow. But all of a sudden, when there's a rock in the way, the water is not going to flow so well. So again, this seems like a pretty striking, severe, frightening situation. As Mamash Chal Shabbos Taraisa happens. Happens.
I found it unbelievable.
But certainly, but I think also, like I said before, the example is a little extreme, but the essence of it, I think, is not that. To to paraphrase Descartes, if my religiosity, if my mitzvahs are an unexamined life of mitzvahs, I'm just sort of doing what I do. It's not coming from a place of thought, not coming from a place of conviction. I don't spend time thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not doing mitzvahs because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I'm not doing mitzvahs because this is the right thing to do. Just sort of, you know, doing what I do. So when it's when it becomes difficult, it's certainly true in the area of integrity, in the area of financial integrity. It's going to happen that if a person, you know, yeah, that's sort of the right thing to do in sort of a shallow way. So I'm a good guy, I'm a decent guy, I'm an honest guy, but not coming from a place of profundity, you know, sort of deep thought about mitos, it's just, you know, or deep thought about Kodesh Baruch Hu, just, you know, that's, you know, I'm a good guy, I do the right thing, I try to be honest, but either when there's an enormous amount of money to be made and no one's watching, no person is watching, or when there's incredible stress, and if I don't make this deadline, or if I don't hand in the sign the dotted line, the reports that say that, you know, what the client is expecting to hear, that could when the shmiras hamitzvahs is coming from a shallow place within, the roots are shallow, then you know, when the yetzer is strong enough, you give in. The deeper the roots, the more powerful. Yeah.
The principle seems to be, I think, that it's not so much a fundamental issue with the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, that in and of itself it's a problem. The examples that the Chazon Ish is bringing are more its problem because look how it can affect Bein Adam L'Makom.
Right.
Not necessarily, because intrinsically there it's an issue. It's because, oh, you think you're just going to be isolated to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, you'll see it's going to impact your Bein Adam
right.
L'Makom as well.
Right, absolutely.
It's a two-way street.
Right, so based on these examples, you could theoretically make the argument that, let's say, in theory, somebody was able to live their entire life without the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro ever impacting their Bein Adam L'Makom in any way, then is it the same problem, right? Because what he's saying is it's not so much the fundamental issue of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, it's more the fact that the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro at some point is going to impact your Bein Adam L'Makom.
Oh, that's interesting. You're saying that both in the Kriyas HaTorah case and the Shabbos case,
the reason why it's bad is
there was another person
impacted your Bein Adam L'Makom. So if somebody could live their entire life performing perfect Bein Adam L'Makom, is that the same? It could be just that he's just bringing these examples to show that it can impact all forms of life.
So I want to understand your question. You're saying the point you're making in these cases is there's a second person involved? Right. No, so the Chazon Ish is talking about causality. The thing with the Chazon Ish, tell me if this is what you're touching on. That the Chazon Ish's argument here is that we think of mitos as driving Bnei Adam L'Chaveiro. We don't often think of mitos as driving Bnei Adam L'Makom. Right? We think you can have bad mitos and have great Bnei Adam L'Makom. It's not really true. You can get away with it for a while because you can go for months for years maybe without having a head-on collision. Bnei Adam L'Chaveiros and Midos Ros are going to be head on collision all the time. Just the nature of the beast. Bnei Adam L'Makom, a lot of times I can do Kriyas Shema and Davening and Shabbos, and the Midos Ros isn't hitting it. But when it does, the Bnei Adam L'Makom is going to break down. And then he says, it's not just, oh, you better have good Midos because occasionally, I think he's trying to go a step further. He's saying fundamentally, he's made this point several times. The fact that, now, from time to time, there will be my midos ros and my adherence to Bnei Adam L'Makom on a collision course, and the midos ros are going to win. So that shows that even the rest, during the other 99% of the time, my Bnei Adam L'Makom, it's shallow. I'm doing the right stuff because it's not hard. But fundamentally, it's really, whereas if I had a lot more depth going on inside, not only is that in the 1% of time, when it's difficult to keep Shabbos, when it's difficult to, you know, go take the Aliyah, I would do it anyway, I would do the right thing, but the other 99% of the time, I would be doing the right thing out of a place of depth, and it would be more authentic, it would be more, is that?
Yeah, no, I mean,
so I'm not sure if that was
a
point you're making.
It's a Gavra question that I'm trying to, address in the sense that, is it that Midos Ros are inherently bad, or they're bad because they can impede all of your, meaning, okay, so let's, for example, this the second story you could, in theory, end it by you could end it by saying he wants to have this chashev guest over, but he wants to have the chashev guest over because only because of the kavod that gives him. And that could be the end of the story, but it's not the end of the story. It's because he only does it for kavod, therefore he could be mechal Shabbos. You could say you shouldn't be. You should a good from Jew should not want to host a chashev guest because of just because he wants to get the kavod.
He's saying he's going a step further.
Because of that, you're going to end up being Michal Shabbos.
Why isn't it a continuum?
Of course. I was waiting.
Again, it doesn't have to be black and white. It's still multi-direction, multi-faceted.
And it's going to play itself out.
It's like Pirkei Avot, kind of a deep-rooted tree. It will stand with it from all directions. Shallow-rooted trees are left over. Eventually, you've got it.
And there are warning signs. Maybe that's what it is. In other words, the fact that you could have noticed earlier, right? You could have noticed the warning signs. You could have noticed if I would have done cheshbon nefesh, if I would be carving out 5-10 minutes a week to self reflect and look in the moral mirror, I would have realized, well, so why am I inviting? Really, I'm doing this just because of like ego. Like what's happened to me? And I didn't pick up on those signs. If I would have noticed those signs, it wouldn't have gotten worse. Instead, I'm sort of letting this fester and fester and fester, and eventually it explodes into far worse. But you're saying, are midos ro'os only bad because sooner or later they have practical impacts, or are midos ro'os inherently bad? He hasn't addressed that. He hasn't addressed that directly, but it sounds like he's saying it's not only that the 1% of the time when because my midos ro'os, I end up being Michal Shabbos, but it's the other 99% of the time also. I'm doing the right thing, but so shallow. So it sounds like the midos tovos are the depth of a person. And that I think is his argument, that that's inherently of an incredible moment. And yeah, that mission is very important, right, about the deep root tree and the shallow root tree. Right, that's sort of like what people see on the outside and what's going on the inside. The chovos ha'ivarim, and now he's going to turn the causality around. Right? So far he's been talking about midos drive mitzvahs. Right? Midos, obviously, we all know that midos drive mitzvahs about lachavero, and Chaznish was asserting that really far more than, sometimes it's obvious, but fundamentally it's always true, far more than we realize, midos really drive in beyond them, lamakams also. And without good midos, sooner or later it's going to be very hard to consistently maintain Baal Makam. Now, he's in the next movement here, and sort of thinking about the relationship between midos and mitzvahs, he says, can we also turn this on its head? Os Zayin. Achashe kavanu. Ki tikkun ha-midos him yisod ha-musad le-mitzvahs ha-chukim le-mitzvahs ha-mishpatim gam yachad. Now that we've established that midos are the foundation for both the chukim and the mishpatim, both for the Bein Adam Lamakoms as well as the Bein Chaveros, Yetze lanu derech ha-shimush le-tikkun ha-midos shmiras ha-halacha. So you know what else? Fundamentally, conceptually, midos drive mitzvahs. But it's also true as a practical strategy for developing my midos. Mitzvahs can drive midos. I can develop better midos through keeping halacha. Ki omnam, ha-mitzvahs ha-masios, the hands are practical. Mitzvahs b'tzivyonam ha-shidchi. So when you look at the structure from the outside, kfi matzavan ha-kayam, b'shidros ha-hamonim, the way the popular conception of mitzvahs, of the hands-on mitzvahs, of the Kriya Shema and the Sukkah and the Lulav, kalam heim l'shamer l'asosim. So if you don't know much, you sort of have sort of a basic popular notion of what it means to have a kosher sukkah and how you put up a mezuzah and how you do tefillah kiyum. Not so hard to do the practical mitzvahs. Okay, you build a sukkah, I bought a sukkah, you build a sukkah, you eat in the sukkah, you make kiddush, you move on. Says, but kvedim hei ma'od le'ele hayodim chomer hadin, v'asher avas ha'halacha kvua b'livam. The more you study, and the more you appreciate the nuance of halacha, and the richness of detail in halacha, not just, oh, put up a mezuzah. No, it's like there are rules. Like, which doors require mezuzah? Which way? Living room, dining room, kitchen. Well, I don't just put up a mezuzah. Which way is what's the orientation, right? Putting up on the right side, going from the dining room to the kitchen, or going from the kitchen to the dining room. We're looking at it. How often rooms are used, we're looking at direction of traffic. Well, 1 second, there's a whole richness of detail here. Like, you got to think about it. You got to think about how to do it right. Once you're those who are attuned to the need, to the nuance of halacha, it becomes a lot more challenging to keep halacha properly. You realize how the gravitas of the din, and you're excited to do it right. There could be an enormous amount of detail to think about. The decision-making process, what's right, what's wrong, becomes a lot more nuanced. You have four halakim of Shulchan Aruch. So then, labikarim yamidu, such poetry. Es shomer shulchanos eile, umekayim ha-mitzvah lifratev ditukeha, lifnei nisyonos kabirim. The more you know, take Hilchos Shabbos, for example. If I don't know much about Hilchos Shabbos, it's not as difficult to keep Shabbos. That's why I know a handful of things I know that I need to be careful about. Can't move muksa, can't strike a match, can't drive a car. That already can be incredibly challenging, depending on the situation. But, you know, there are three, four, five, ten things I need to be sure to avoid on Shabbos. But if I'm aware of the third night of Malach, I'm aware of the depth of detail, that's a lot to be careful of. At Nisyonos Kabirim, we have monumental Nisyonos. Acharei Rava Malolim So Tfilin Kol Chasan. This is going to go, you know, just buy a random pair of tefillin. I want to make sure they're kosher. So I'm sensitive to the minutia. Esr Kol Chasan, Tzitzis Kol Chasan. I want to get a kosher Esr, kosher Tzitzis. Yichurash So Safek Chadash Shelo Hirgush Bamerosh. He worked hard to get a pair of kosher tefillin. He worked hard to get a pair of kosher tzitzis, and then he realizes, he knows enough, that he goes, 1 second, I thought it was a kosher, but look at that, look at this, look at the strings, not sure. Not sure if it's acceptable or not. Chamal Rick. And when he realizes, he has that moment, he realizes, I thought I had it done. I spent an hour. And now, 1 second, I'm not really sure. I notice that detail. Not sure if it's good. V'tzarech lehilachim b'midosav. And that's going to present, we think of that as the year of Shemayim issue. It also is a midos issue. Which midah? Sometimes it's atzla, sometimes it's laziness. I'm already exhausted. I worked so hard, I put in the time, and now, really? Sometimes it's a question of ego. It's going to be embarrassing. People are, what are you doing? We thought, you're back again? Back again for another essay? What's your problem? Problem they have says, Mama, so it's a question of finances. I laid out the money. I'm not going to be able to get a refund. I'm going to go back to buy a new one. It may not be a simple thing. And problem on Jay Bezo yakni too. Maybe he'll get pushback from within the house. Yanko, you already spent $100 on the essay. Again? Really? A spouse, children, parent, it could be a husband, a wife, whatever it is. There could be all sorts of friction. Oh, the LFK, there could be 1,000 other examples of what the Midara is. Uvichlal, but as a general principle, Hamidakdek Ba'avodaso, someone who wants to really do keep mitzvahs properly in detail, not just sort of impressionistically broad strokes. Yeah, I got an asterisk. Yeah, I put up a zazet. No, they're right. Avodaso amela biyosei yachid bedaver. Often, a part of the challenge is that you feel sometimes feel a little bit lonely. V'tzarech omet shalol higarach hasigosav. That one will often find, regardless of what circles you move in, that if you're really seeking authenticity and precision in halacha, one will often feel like sort of going alone here. I look around and see a lot of people just sort of going with the flow and just sort of, you know, doing what everyone does. And meanwhile, here I am trying to actually do it right and feel like I'm, you know, antinomian. I feel like I'm, you know, countercultural. I feel like I'm swimming against the current. That's rough. And he goes on to say that to do that on a regular basis and to to, on a regular basis, have to grapple with, am I doing it right, or am I going the easy path? And again, as I said, easy path may just be not having to work as hard. Easy path maybe not as much interpersonal friction. I don't mean friction in a negative sense. I don't mean I'm being nasty in order to keep halacha. Just there's going to be pushback from people, and there's going to be sort of the comments, or the sort of this the feeling that, like, why can't I just be like everyone else? And if I'm consistently struggling with that, and I'm consistently working, but I understand this is the right thing to do. I understand this merits HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I understand this is a value, even if not everyone sees it. It says, "Harigu b'dikta kadin neged midos hafativyos." That practice, that exercise of repeated putting halachic effectiveness, halachic authenticity over and above bad midos, neged nitiyos b'tolado, against my natural tendency. So that's not only am I keeping mitzvah X and keeping mitzvah Y, and I succeeded at doing tefillin right and sittis right and esrog right. But also, each one of those is another sharpening, another time of drawing the moral knife against the whetstone. It's a powerful exercise in tikkun amidos. It's a powerful exercise. He puts it with such poetic beauty. Losumas shevet moshlim bekaf hativuna v'sharesin b'yad asechem. I'm putting the staff of power. Who's in charge? It's an opportunity to once again put my mind in charge of my body, and not the reverse. It's an opportunity to put the reins in the hands of my rational side. Who's in charge? The drivers. Who's in the driver's seat? Is it just desire of the moment, or is it rational thought? Umagbirim belibo hakara tamidus lihikanal laharegesh hapnimi ulamaspun hatzil. And it's another opportunity to give ongoing primacy and awareness of what's really important, and to be attuned to that voice within, and to be attuned to the sensitive conscience. And it's making me a man of spirit. This is, he says, tremendous. Got to keep the details of halacha. He says, you're missing a whole dimension of the dynamic. When you become a isha halacha, when you become a person for halacha is part and parcel of what drives me, not only am I keeping mitzvah X and Y and Z, but it's going to transform me as a human being. It's going to refine me. It's going to remove. It's going to make me into a different type of person. And it speaks. It goes on to say in the last paragraph of section Ches, how it step after step, different aspects of keeping halacha with care, with concern, with attention to detail, speak to each of the midos tovos. It's an opportunity to work on patience. It's an opportunity to work on enthusiasm. It's an opportunity to work on being able to sort of let things slide. It's so much. He even goes on in the next section. To talk about not only that halacha can drive midos, and this is an example. He started by saying how midos drive halacha, right? And midos drive halacha sort of in the moment. In any given instance, systonically, if you're looking at one slice in time, right, where my midos are at within is going to drive how thorough, how effectively, and certainly how profoundly I'm keeping halacha. But now the idea has been developing is that there's also the flip side, that dystonically, if I'm looking at, not in the moment, but developmentally, midos drive, halacha drives midos, and with this we close, he suggests not only that it is a way of driving midos, but his argument in section tests is that it is the best, and sometimes the only way, the truest way to build midos is through the exercise of diktuk b'halacha. To be a bendachtik mitzvahs in many ways is the truest, most profound way to build midos. So this is really like a whole new way of looking at midos. Midos as a driver of halacha, and midos as a product of halacha. Shukov, thank you so much. We'll continue with another in 2 weeks. I would love to. One more.